from 90.1 WFYI Public Radio. Welcome to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.
Hello, and welcome to The Art of the Matter. I'm Sharon Campbell.
And I'm Travis DiNicola. Today's show is a special Penrod preview. Penrod, of course, takes place on the grounds of the Indianapolis Museum of Art on Saturday, September 12th from 9 to 5 p.m.
I'll start out by finding out lots of things to do at the IMA while you're attending the Penrod Fair.
One of my favorite cultural booths at Penrod is Irish Fest, so I will get a preview of this year's 20th anniversary festival.
Another stalwart organization with a booth at Penrod is Clues Memorial Hall, and I'll take a look at what they're doing this fall.
And to wrap it up, I'll hear about upcoming shows at the Indianapolis Art Center, whose staff are running the kids' art-making area at Penrod.
All that and more right after the latest news from NPR.
Welcome back to a special Penrod edition of The Art of the Matter. And while you're attending the Penrod Arts Fair, don't forget that you can do dozens of fun activities at the Indianapolis Museum of Art. Sharon Gamble invited public relations manager Stephanie Perry to suggest some highlights.
So I have the feeling that maybe on the inside of the IMA staff, September 12th is nicknamed the Big Penrod Invasion. But it's a good invasion, right?
Oh, yes. We love having Penrod at the IMA. It's a great opportunity to show off our campus and our grounds to the community and partner with a great organization.
And in fact, people should know that if they happen to be IMA members, they can get specially priced tickets just through today. Tell us what's going on with that and how to do it.
Yes. So you need to come to our welcome desk in person. Just come in and you can get $10 tickets as opposed to $20 day of tickets through 5 o'clock today. And, or excuse me, 4 o'clock, because we are closing an hour early for Penrod.
Makes good sense.
So you can come do that. And the public as well is welcome to come in and get a $15 ticket.
So discount either way, but
exactly.
If you're not an IMA member, you might just go ahead and take care of it then when you come into the welcome
desk,
right?
Exactly, yes.
So the grounds are, invasion is only a slightly humorous word for this, because thousands and thousands of visitors, as well as hundreds, if not thousands, of artists distribute themselves not through your entire campus, but through a good deal of it.
Through most of it. Our Virginia B. Fairbanks Art and Nature Park, 100 acres, is one of the few areas that is completely clear. So if you need to get away and want to stay outside, it's a great place to escape to. And our Tanner Orchard is one of the only other places on campus that you will not find a booth.
And the Tanner Orchard is a fairly recent, like maybe in the last decade, restoration of what was originally there, as I understand it.
Yes, and it's really a great place for us because we do grow produce there, and we donate it to local food banks, and we also have beehives back there that we harvest the honey from, which most people do not know.
Cool. I was actually talking with my co-host the other day about the hummingbird banding event.
Yes,
that you had
that
not
was
too
great.
Long ago. That was so fun. It's amazing that the people can control such tiny little fast-moving critters and band them.
Yeah, that event is so popular, and we've had that the last few years, and we get great crowds. So it's a really great way to also share the expertise of our staff with the public.
Indeed. So the reason I wanted to have you on the show was to talk a little bit about if people are coming to the Penrod Arts Fair, and maybe they haven't been to the IMA for a while, what are some of the things they should kind of pay attention to? Or like maybe they want to come inside and take a break from all the positive chaos of the Penrod Arts Fair.
Well, there's a lot going on. And with your Penrod ticket, you do get free admission for the day to the IMA. So you can just come on in. If you want to go inside, our permanent collection is always a great place to start, especially if you've never been there. We will have docents, Ask Me Docents, throughout the museum from 1 to 3. So if you have a question, you do not have to be afraid to ask. We also have a great special tour happening at 1 p.m. about women's fashion throughout history. And that is called What People Wore, and it explores the different fashion that you can see in artworks in both our American and European collections. So if you want a little more of a formal museum visit, that's a great way to kind of hop on a tour. We also have a Closer Look program, which is a one-hour discussion in our American galleries at 2 p.m. So a few great options if you want something a little more scheduled. and of course our permanent collection in general you could explore for hours. We have a great if you only have an hour brochure that you could pick up at the front desk, and if you just want to spend an hour or even less, it pulls out the highlights that you could see. We also have several special exhibitions happening right now. So to kind of walk through them, our Revved Up Cars and Art is a automobile-themed art exhibition, which if you got to see Dream Cars, you just saw our big art show, and Dream Cars has left now, but this is a great way to kind of continue the legacy. We have 17 works from our permanent collection that are all automobile-themed. And some big artists that a lot of people will know and love, like Robert Indiana, Ingrid Kalam's tracings of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So some really great pieces. Along that lines, we have a children's car design studio area.
Ooh.
That is great if you have little ones and they're getting a little anxious and need to escape. You can come inside. And that was created in conjunction with Dream Cars, but we're keeping it through next summer. And kids can essentially design their own cars. So they can pick colors, styling features, different kinds of engines, and see how engineering and styling features really affect the fuel efficiency, the speed, and the cost of a vehicle.
Wow.
It's a really great interactive app we developed in partnership with IUPUI. And we also have a magnet wall in there. So if you have really little ones, they can play on the magnet wall with different car features. And we also have our Star Studio. So along those lines, if you have a little one and they just need to burn off some energy with some great art making activities or light bright wall and so forth.
Fess up, you send some of your colleagues there periodically,
oh yes,
don't you?
It's a great de-stressing space. So those are some great options for families.
Yeah.
But other special exhibitions, we have a contemporary Japanese ceramics exhibition that just opened in July, so still fairly new. And that is some amazing, stunning ceramic pieces from Japan that were created by some national living treasures. So these are people who have been actually given this title by the Japanese government to really recognize their mastery of skills that are of significant historical cultural value. So skills that really speak to the kind of the generation and traditions of Japanese culture. And what's great about these works is they are really continuing these old traditions, but they have a contemporary twist.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a great display in there. And a lot of these are lenders or some are from our collection. So maybe not something that you would see every day.
Sure.
At the IMA.
And that really dovetails nicely with or compliments your extensive. You have a really world-renowned Asian collection at the IMA.
Oh, yes, on our third floor. And if you have not checked it out, all of our permit collection, you know, we try to refresh it and change it frequently. So even if you've been there recently, but it's a beautiful collection, and this is a great kind of complement to the permanent pieces.
What are, if you ran into a museum professional from somewhere else at a conference, they might, and you identify where you work, what would they say about the IMA? What are you known for as a museum?
Well, our encyclopedic collection, of course, just because we have such a robust and diverse collection from around the world.
An encyclopedic collection means?
It means that we have pieces from all around the world and in different types. We have contemporary, we have Asian, as you were just saying, we have a really great African collection. It's not, you know, the largest part of our collection, but it's really strong, and our textiles collection. So just this really diverse kind of array. And so anything that you're really interested in, you can come and find a piece of art that speaks to that.
You also have some amazing programming, most of which is on the horizon as we're having this conversation. There's just not room on the grounds during the Penrod Arts Fair to do it, but I understand one of your programming colleagues, who is synonymous with internet cat videos, is bringing
yes.
that to
Scott
the IMA.
Stulen. Yes, we're going to host the Internet Cat Video Festival, which Scott actually started at the Walker, where he used to work, and it's going to be in November, and tickets will go on sale shortly, so keep an eye out for that. But
so So what is that like?
It's a internet YouTube videos of cats. So just doing all sorts of cat ridiculous humorous things, and you get to come in and join with all these other cat lovers. We'll have Lil Bub there, who's a pretty big cat celebrity.
Yeah, he is.
And we're gonna have a meet and greet with Lil Bub, and it's just gonna be a really fun event. And this festival just completely blew up when he started it at the Walker.
Right.
And so it's kind of a fun way to continue his legacy here.
This will be in the Toby, I assume?
It is in the Toby, and I'm personally a huge cat lover, so I've already asked if I can bring my cat, which you cannot.
Darn it. Travis, sorry. between the two co-hosts, we have 12 cats.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. You have me beat. I have two, but...
I only have two. I'll let our listeners do the math. So that's fun. That's something to look forward to as the weather gets icky outside. It's just kind of something fun and festive and silly.
Oh, yes. And we have programming all through the winter. We're going to do our pop-up park again in the cafe. So if you want to come in from the winter and do an indoor park, we're going to have special programming in there, such as our Avon Brunch. So definitely check the website, and there's constantly, I feel like Scott's team is doing new programs every week, and so there's always something going on.
What are you personally, special exhibition-wise, most looking forward to over the coming few months?
Well, I'm very excited for our Gustav Bauman show, which opens in late October. He's one of those artists that I feel like people, when you say his name, some people are like, oh, I'm not sure who that is. And then they see his works and they're like, oh, I've seen that. Or, you know, it's just stunning. And he is a woodblock print artist who is German, but he worked in Brown County for several years. So it's a great tie-in to the bicentennial celebration next year. But just some really beautiful woodblock prints. And we will have a artist in residence working in a little workshop that we will build inside the exhibition throughout the run of the show, so you can actually come by and see, because I feel like it's one of those processes that people think, I'm not really sure what that looks like, or how does he do that?
And it's kind of an old school process that it's really kind of amazing people are still being taught how to do it.
Oh, yeah. So you will actually be able to take a workshop with this artist if you want and learn how to do it yourself and create your own print to take home. And she will also be selling her prints that she creates in our museum store, and we'll have a little exhibit of her work as well. So I think that show is going to be especially exciting, and with the Hoosier ties, I think that's really fun.
Sharon Gamble, the IMA's public relations manager, Stephanie Perry. If you are one of the first 200 people to renew or purchase an IMA membership the day of the Penrod Fair, you can receive a free Penrod ticket. And you can do that at both the 38th and 42nd Street entrances. Learn more at imamuseum.org. Again, imamuseum.org.
Indy's Irish Fest is just one of many organizations with cultural booths at this year's Penrod Arts Fair. Travis DiNicola spoke with the Irish Fest's Aaron O'Rourke about this year's 20th annual event.
Aaron, welcome to Art of the Matter. Great to see you.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. 20 years of Irish Fest. I can't believe it.
We can't either. We're really, really excited for this year. I think it's going to be a good one.
That is so cool. You know, and people who listen to Art of the Matter know that I love Irish Fest. I used to be an MC for it for many years. It's always been one of my favorite events in the city. Now, 20 years, it just keeps getting bigger and better. We'll talk about some of the specifics in a minute, but for those people who maybe don't know what Irish Fest is, it's all volunteer-run celebration of everything Irish, right?
Yes. There was a group of people that about 20 years ago exactly mm-hmm. that were interested in just making sure that we celebrated the Irish heritage and all the components that go along with it, so sports and music and dance and everything.
The food.
The beer.
Mm-hmm. And beer.
So making sure, yeah, that we're, you know, acknowledging the importance of the history of Irish in Indianapolis, mm-hmm. but just as a whole kind of celebrating the heritage and, you know, all the culture and everything that goes along with it.
And it's a great event. It's at Military Park right there just off the White River, campus of IUPUI. Many stages of entertainment, as you mentioned, food and beer. Also, I think some of the best vendors in terms of gifts you can pick up that are Irish themed that you see like at any that you would see at any event, just whether it's like Irish art
right.
or candy or clothing or rings or, you know, who knows what.
The vendors that we have that come to our festival are awesome. A lot of them do this year round. They travel mm-hmm. around to different festivals. But it's so great for us to have that additional component of people being able to purchase jewelry, artwork, kind of like what you're saying with Irish food. I know the candy bars are a big thing.
Yeah.
So just having all that on site is just kind of another way to Irish sweaters. Hopefully we won't need them that weekend,
but in case
we do, they've got them on site.
It's a good place to, you know, some great Christmas gifts you can look for there.
Exactly.
Some handmade Irish wool sweaters, and not that I need one, but maybe someone will. Anyway, yes. So let's talk about some of the highlights this year. Let's start with entertainment, because there's always tons of great bands that play there.
Yeah, so with our 20th, we decided to do sort of a retrospective and then a brand new component.
Okay.
So about half the bands are coming, haven't been in years and years. Off Kilter is one of them.
They're coming back?
They're coming back.
That's
Everyone
huge.
Is so excited. Yes, and they are just so easy.
Okay, let me just stop you right there. So Off Kilter has got to be one of my absolute favorite Irish bands ever. Three guys, they from Florida, right? They used to play at Epcot all the time. They were an Irish band there. Sort of an Irish rock band, but so incredibly entertaining and goofy and fun and great music.
Great.
And I know they haven't played Irish Fest for at least like 8, 9, 10 years maybe.
So the contract.
And they were always like the most popular group.
Oh, people love them. Every year, I do all of our social media. Every year, people wanted them to come back.
Yeah.
And they had this contract with Disney that they weren't able to really get away from that. But this year they're coming back. We are so excited to have them. Indy is just really excited to have them back, and they you know are so easy to work with and just great guys.
Yeah.
So I'm personally looking forward to them to seeing them because I've not actually seen them live yet.
It is an experience.
Really gonna be fun. Yeah.
Yeah. That was when I used to MC. That was always the stage that I would request.
Oh yeah.
To always be their MC. Because
so they'll
they
be here all weekend. It's
okay,
gonna be fun.
Cool.
So that's one. Makem in Spain, haven't been back in a while. Rory Makem is the son of Tommy Makem, who is sort of a pioneer of Irish music. So that's really important for us to kind of acknowledge again that part with the hair. Heritage. McPeak is another one that hasn't been back for a few years. And then the new component that we have, brand new groups coming, Scythian, they come from the East Coast, D.C. area-ish.
Okay.
And we saw them last year at Oshkosh Irish Festival, and they are just so energetic, so fun to watch. If you have seen them live, you just like, can't get enough. And they're the nicest people. There's three siblings in the group and then two others. They're just really fun to be around. Socks in the Frying Pan.
Fun
are actually they I know and I keep trying to have them tell me what it means and they won't because it's like a big thing but they actually are from Ireland and then kind of travel the U.S. and tour all summer long, so we've got those guys.
Nice.
Young guys, really vibrant. The music is very traditional but still really energetic and really fun to watch. Moxie Strings is a group from Michigan.
Okay.
Allison plays the electric cello, so that's really fun. And Diana's a really great fiddle player. So, and then Fritz is on drum. So they are another group that's, again, really young, really fresh, really vibrant. So we're, I don't know, I think it's going to be really great with some of these groups.
How many stages? Like three?
We've
or
got four?
Four.
So we've got two main stages of equal sort of play.
Mm-hmm.
Headlining, and then we've got a cultural stage, so we do demonstrations, language, that kind of thing. And then there's a tented stage that's for acts that are, you know, Pogey Duo is another new group coming. They would be, it's just a duo, they'd be on a stage like that. So
a little smaller stuff.
Yeah, smaller, yep.
And then Irish Step Dancers?
Irish Step Dancers, yes. They're coming back. We were actually just talking to them today about all their demonstrations and everything. So we're really looking forward to having them back. I mean, it's just so fun, I think, for people to see the costumes and the wigs and, you know, seeing them all up on stage. And
it's awesome.
The sound is just incredible from them. So
those are wigs? What?
Yeah, I know, right? I always thought they were real hair when I was little.
Very cool. Yeah, so some great entertainment.
Great
this
entertainment,
year.
Yes.
I want to talk food, but let's hold off on food for just a second. So something new this year, Barry Jazz Finnegan, an artist from Dublin. Tell me about him.
Yeah, so he reached out and his work is incredible. So if people want to check it out, Barry Jazz Finnegan, you can find him on Facebook and see. He does these large scale and it's charcoal portraits, and he does a lot of them on musicians or celebrities.
Okay.
So we are working with him right now to figure out what we're going to incorporate in the piece that he does on site. But he's going to be on site so people can watch him work and create a commemorative piece for our 20th anniversary.
Very cool.
He's very excited to come to Indianapolis. He's never been here. So I was telling him, and he was looking stuff up on Google Maps. So we're nice. Really, yeah, we're looking forward to having him on site.
So there's also lots of other cool different sort of events and activities throughout the weekend, mm-hmm. Including the Kilted Mile Run,
yes.
Which is a great tradition.
Yes, mm-hmm. Very great.
Tell me a bit about that.
Yeah, so that's on Sunday, mm-hmm. And people can dress up in kilts, and mm-hmm. then they literally run the mile, but the awards are the best part. Least likely to finish, excuse me. Bonniest mm-hmm. knees is one of them. So mm-hmm. people always really get into those awards after that race is over.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. Kilts will be flying.
Yes, kilts will be flying.
And there's other fun contests for kids, like kids with the reddest hair and most mm-hmm. freckles and stuff
greenest
like that.
Eyes, right? Yes. So we have that. They do have a craft contest for kids, too. And they have their own area that we'll have mm-hmm. kind of sectioned off for them with inflatables and crafts and there'll be worksheets so they can learn.
Because it's a very kid-friendly festival.
Yes, yeah. And actually, the thing that I was laughing about was a lot of the groups we have coming are families, brothers mm-hmm. and sisters. So that kind of adds to that whole family-friendly fun component.
Yeah.
And Kids Area actually will also have a stage. So Silly Safari will be on site with us.
Cool.
That was a big hit last year. And then with sports, too, I don't want to forget to mention our
yeah.
Gaelic Athletic Association mm-hmm. friends, the Hurling Club. They are great partners and help us staff like our Thursday night preview concert. So
sure.
they're there on site. And then they'll also be doing demonstrations on Saturday.
Of hurling, which is that
yes.
super cool sport with that very strange looking thing that almost looks like a hockey stick, but not quite.
Right.
Yeah.
It's sort of like this weird mash. They don't wear pads, so it reminds me of rugby. But then they like hit the ball like baseball style. I don't know. It's crazy to watch.
Yep.
So people should really go check it out.
Yeah. Are the dogs coming back for the sheep herding?
Dogs are coming back. And yes, sheep herding will be there too. That's always fun for people to see Irish wolfhounds.
Yeah,
because,
they're beautiful.
I mean, I'm only, what, like 5'2"? And they come up and they're just sort of like right at hip level. And you're like, that is a huge dog. So
mm-hmm.
they just kind of wander around the park. And then Jim Bob, actually, we missed him last year. He had some health problems, but he'll be back this year.
Great.
He does a great job. And he's actually going to have goats this year, I think, instead
cool.
of ducks.
Okay.
So we're looking. His presentations are awesome if people
yeah,
don't
very
yeah,
fun.
If haven't
very
seen
fun.
Those. So
and another thing that's really cool is there's always tents set up with historical information about people's families and
right.
Irish history and Irish American history. And so there's a lot of neat stuff going on with that as well.
Yeah, and a lot of the local groups join
mm-hmm.
us as well. So the Emerald Society, the Hibernians, the Lady Hibernians, the Irish Arts Academy. Everybody's there, kind of on site to you know help promote the culture. And when somebody wins, everybody wins sort of mentality with us.
Absolutely.
That anytime that we can, you know, celebrate that heritage, we're in luck. The other thing I did want to mention, speaking of the Irish Arts Academy,
mm-hmm.
we are going to have a trad music tent on site. So session tent, I guess you can call it, where musicians from Indianapolis or if
hmm.
some of our touring bands want to pop on in.
Can just sort of come in and jam?
And jam. And
that's
people
cool.
will be able to see the instruments up close,
mm-hmm.
check them out, and then talk to the musicians about the history of the instrument, how you play, or just, you know, how, you know, listening to the music and checking all that part out, too.
Right, because
so.
A lot of the musicians are playing traditional Irish
mm-hmm.
instruments, whether it be the drums or fiddles or other things as
right,
well.
Right, tin whistle.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
very
yeah.
cool. Okay, food, beer.
Food,
saving
beer.
The best for last here. Plenty of Guinness.
Yes.
Right?
Monarch is our alcohol distributor, and they hook us up and make sure that we've got plenty of beer for the weekend. So Guinness, Smittix, Harp, all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We actually are really excited. Magner Cider is coming
mm-hmm.
on as the official cider of Indy Irish Fest this year. So that's going to be a really fun addition. We've had cider before, but
mm-hmm.
not Magner. So that's going to be fun for everybody that loves that. And then food.
Clotta is one of the vendors.
Yes,
right?
Clotta is one of the vendors. So they'll have the fish and chips and all that
mm-hmm.
good stuff. We've got Solshine Market coming. Ben Soft Pretzels was a huge hit last year. I think people just kind of wanted to snack and enjoy
mm-hmm.
themselves.
Or
have a
soak
beer.
Up some
pretzel.
Gas or-
yeah, exactly. So, yeah, food's going to be great. There'll be some local stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like food trucks and that kind of thing, and then Irish, and you can find hot dogs and hamburgers, too, for any picky eaters. So
cool.
We've got lots on site, yeah.
Great, great, great. All fun. It's going to be a great weekend.
Yes.
So it takes place mainly on Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Preview party on Thursday, is that
yes.
right?
So Thursdays are concert pub nights. We have
okay.
two Celtic rock groups coming in that are also brand new to Indy, so we're excited to have both of them. And then we also do a craft beer tasting
okay.
that... that'll be for learn for a couple hours. People can get a Guinness pint glass with that purchase. And then we're going to have, I think Indy 11 is going to be on site. So
nice.
It's kind of a fun way to kick
yeah.
off the weekend and, you know, Thirsty Thursday sort of
thing. I know there's a lot of different ticket options. You can get for the whole weekend. You can get for just one day. Mm-hmm. You have special deals for college students. People can find out all that at IndieIrishFest.com.
Yes, they can. Yes, our website is a great place. We're also selling tickets at Marsh Grocery Stores, Clada Irish Pubs, and Nine Irish Brothers, the one downtown in Indy. So if people wanted to purchase tickets, they can go there. Otherwise, yeah, check out the website. You can purchase them online as well.
Travis DiNicola with the Indy Irish Fest's Erin O'Rourke. You can get a complete schedule of all the entertainment and events at IndieIrishFest.com. IndieIrishFest.com.
And we're back with a special Penrod edition of The Art of the Matter. Clues Memorial Hall is an institution both on Butler University's campus and as a longtime exhibitor at the Penrod Arts Fair. Sharon Gamble asked Community Engagement Manager James Kramer to give us a sneak peek of the Clues season.
So, as you have been for years, you're represented at the Penrod Arts Fair this year.
Yes, absolutely.
You want to tempt people to come out. You've got, wait, what season is this? How many seasons?
This is our 52nd season. It really is.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I can't believe it's been 2 years since we had the big celebration.
Yeah.
But every year since, you know, we just keep adding to it. You know, you set the high bar on the 50th anniversary. You've got to exceed that from
backslide.
Then on. No. So a lot of things, quite honestly, a lot of things we implemented for that season, you know, which were specials.
Yeah, like the Clues Conversations. That was meant to be a one-off, right?
Exactly. It really was.
And
we'll
talk about those a little bit more in a moment. But.
Yeah, but that and then the artwork on the wall in the lobby, that was a special thing, and it was so popular. And this is, I think, the testament to the people coming to the building, letting us know what they want.
Yeah.
And we respond to that. If they want to keep art on the wall, we've done that. So, so it's a monumental space for artists. It's an exhibition opportunity.
Yeah, there we go.
Mm-hmm.
I know we won't be able to talk about the whole season, but you have ticket packages and...
Yeah, we've got our Clues Presents series, and that's a subscription. Of course, you know, Broadway Presents there. They've got their subscription. And, you know, there are other, you know, the Butler Ballet will be there with two ballets, and of course, Nutcracker in the December, and the Spring Ballet will be Swan Lake. So there are other things, too, at the university, diversity writers, a different speaker series that they have in. So there are various things, whether they're considered a subscription by the whole package or with the VIP opportunities, or whether you're just there on a regular basis because you love that kind of conversation or that kind of a lecture or that kind of a engagement. So, you know, the performing as well as the speaking, it all fits in there. And then, of course, the visual art. It's just a huge portion of what people's experience
is
there.
Because lots of times when you say Clues Hall to somebody, they picture the auditorium itself and sitting in those seats that are still among everybody's favorite because they're, is it called European spacing?
Continental style.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Meaning what?
Unobstructed, no center aisle.
Yeah. Yeah, and enough space to gracefully get to your seat,
so which leg room.
Not all theaters have these days.
And as those, you know, as we've gotten taller, and I just feel very comfortable there with my long legs.
Yeah,
so it's great.
But people picture the auditorium, but you have all the spaces that wrap around the auditorium as well, which make for maybe not originally intended to be visual art spaces, I don't think.
No.
They work well.
It does. So we really have, in that sense, three spaces in the building. If you think of the lobby space where there's visual art, which, you know, you can have receptions and a variety of things go on there. And then the Cranet Room, which is where we have some of our more intimate, if you will, 200 is intimate, conversations.
Compared to upstairs, it is.
True.
And so describe that room if somebody has not been there.
The Cranet Room is on the lower level of Clues. It has sort of a rectangular structure to it. A lovely vaulted or curved ceiling on it, and it just has a really wonderful sense of community. Depending on how we set it up, it can be for standing cocktail tables, sit down, a lecture style, cabaret style with tables around a real nice mix that we can have that flat floor space to be created. A few years ago, we had a dance party in there. We had the Tiempo Libre band came down after their concert, and they were jamming, and they had a dance floor on one end, and they were dancing with the patrons who were there.
Fun.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So various ways we can use that space, and sometimes even used for testing, you know, when they need space on campus. For additional testing spaces. We've used it for that. And then sometimes outside organizations rent it for their, whether it's a real estate licensing sort of testing or various other things.
So actually, it would be a great place for a retreat because it's got all the high-tech stuff, but but it's quiet and sort of away from...
Yeah, there's a sense of privacy in that space if you want it to be, but also it's not so far removed that... And it being right in the building, that just makes it very convenient to get to.
And very soon, people who are renting that space or going to performances will be able to pop out and go over to, what are they calling? What's the new Scott Wise restaurant? The Dog House?
Scotty's Dog House. Scotty's Dog House. Which, yeah, I think that's going to be really exciting to have that right there on campus. In the heart of it, the way the campus has grown, it's really there in the center of campus. What's the center now? You know, in the parking garage. So you've got convenient parking. You've got the restaurant right there. Then you can go over to the field house one way, to Clues and the rest of the Butler Arts Center another way, or right into campus if you're coming for some other activities.
Yeah.
It's really, I think it's going to be very interesting to see how that really serves our neighborhood and really creates much more of a community gathering.
Nice evolution, too, for Clues.
Yes.
So I want to talk to you about how strong movement is this year in your season. There's a lot of dance and a lot of physicality.
Yes, there is. And things that we might not normally think of as dance, but as you say, it is movement, and that is dance.
Yeah.
Movement is dance. You know, we really start that off with Axis Dance, which is mixed ability dancers. We have some in wheelchairs. We have some that... do not have their arm. We have some that, you know, are functioning in what may be considered a normal dancer mode. So all working together, and they're doing a piece that among the repertoire that they're doing, one of the pieces will be by Joe Good that's addressing veterans and veterans returning and reacclimating into society. So I think that's going to be a very powerful piece for us.
It sounds amazing. Yeah.
So we're going to be really trying to work with our community in building up awareness of this, building up the awareness that we're supporting and providing, I think, a vehicle for people to come away from with a greater understanding and a greater point for discussion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got Youth Theater, which is the week after that, and these are both in November. And Youth Theater, even though we're primarily describing it as a taiko drumming sort of experience, it's about the movement, it's about the percussion, it's about the total experience of this, and it's so much more than just one thing. It's really multidisciplinary, and
sounds like a lot of pageantry is involved.
That and physicality. just what it takes to really put your entire self into creating sound. You know, it goes right along then with stomp in a different way from a different culture.
Right.
Again, that whole physicality, whether you're, you know, shaking a matchbox to make some noise or whether you're banging on trash cans, whatever your whatever your thing is to create sound and vibration.
Yeah.
So that's another one. And then, of course, Dance Theater of Harlem will be there, which is a great, just a really exciting opportunity for us to have them come in. And the residency activities that we'll be doing around that as well in the community is really going to, I think, provide us an opportunity to connect into some groups and some areas of the community that we've not been able to for a while.
Sure. Straying a little bit from traditional dance, although I suspect there'll be some dance involved, tell us about Broadway's next hit musical.
Fascinating. It sounds like such fun. Basically, I'm describing it as stand-up improv and with taking notes from the audience, inspiration from, you know, call out what you would like And they're going to then create that for us on stage in front of our eyes. This is a one-time unique performance.
But it's full length, which is amazing.
It really is. And I think then, as you said, you know, movement, dance, song, it's all there to create this story right in front of us. And the audience, you know, are the writers and the inspiration and I think those co-collaborators, if you will. And talk about an interactive type of experience, really, to see that come alive in front of our eyes, I think is going to be so much fun. And I fully expect it, even if it is a dramatic musical, I think there's going to be something very, very fun about that.
Absolutely. Yes. People who like Whose Line Is It Anyway and that sort of program are going to be nuts for this.
Yes.
Although, again, it's so intriguing because it's one thing to take an audience suggestion and make a 3-minute sketch out of it.
Yes.
It's another thing to make a full-length musical.
Yeah.
So
yes.
I can't wait to see that.
I can't wait to meet the performers.
Yeah.
Which, you know,
do they have... will they be able to do any kind of classes or anything?
We're going to be doing
Good.
A theater improv class for
Good.
Butler Theater students. But if people are interested, they need to contact me because we do have room for observers.
Ooh.
So you know, we'll have a limited number of spaces available for those that would like to come and observe the process.
Mm-hmm.
How does this work? And to teach theater students this art form to then pass on and have them, you know, come into the fold, if you will, upon graduation. It's just a great opportunity that they can explore.
So I know we haven't been able to talk about everything in the season, and you have some additional very high-profile guests, but I want to talk about two things. Let's talk about January 20th and It Gets Better.
Yes. Well, it is a program many may know. It started off as sort of a YouTube reach and call out and support for youth who are being bullied about sexual orientation and identity. And it has become this movement. It's the LA Gay Men's Chorus. Members of that are coming to town. They're going to do a week residency. So we're going to be reaching out to various members in our community to explore and converse and really come to a better understanding and acceptance of one another.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it has grown so much since its inception to now where it is and where we are as a society and how it fits our needs. And of course, you know, there were some things when we were in contract negotiations that were going on at a state level here that they said, you really need this. we really need to come to Indiana.
Yeah, please let us come and
yes,
do this here.
Yeah, so it was just, but we said, you know, we're talking about planning now at this point in the summer and fall for something that's in January, and who knows what the real issue might be at that point.
Absolutely.
I mean, we're moving so quickly in terms of information that's out there and available for us and how we're sharing, how we're accepting or resisting that and what we can do. And bullying is at the core of this. And it's just difficult to imagine that people feel that it's their right to pick on others.
Mm-hmm.
It's wrong. So what can we do from an art standpoint to try to convey that message, to get that word across in a different way than people may have otherwise you know, received that and seen it and accepted it and maybe put it into a even though it's a theatrical production, they can put it into real terms. They can make sense
right.
of that for themselves. So
people might come and, you know, if you're sitting here listening to this conversation and saying, yeah, but the people who most need to come won't come. But the people who do come may get some new ammunition in the way, mm-hmm. in some new ways to talk back to a bully,
Absolutely.
To deal with it mm-hmm. within a family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right, right. And I think because of some of the residency activities, including an invited public conversation, and then we'll have some other, we're going to have some general public conversation and some specific invitees, you know, a variety of leadership roles in our community to come together, to have this opportunity to bring it up in conversation outside of, I'm having to deal with it right now today in a classroom.
Right.
Let's talk about it before we get there.
Right.
Or bring those experiences so we can say the next time it happens, because unfortunately it probably will repeat itself.
Mm-hmm.
How can you be better prepared to handle this and deal with and help us get past this and move on to some other bigger, more other issues, if you will.
Exactly. And quite quickly, what are Clues Conversations?
Clues Conversations are an opportunity for us to explore various genre of things that we present at the hall, as well as things that we don't. I mean, we'll have a conversation about vets and how the arts serve veterans. That's related to the Axis Dance. Mm-hmm. We'll be having a conversation about It Gets Better, which is directly related to this. What Color Is Ballet? Directly related to Dance Theater of Harlem, mm-hmm. but yet in a general way. So it's not so much we're going to be talking about Dance Theater of Harlem or about Axis Dance, but we're talking about that that topic. Mm-hmm. But then we have, and the last conversation of the series is going to be the Golden Age of Indianapolis Theaters, the sequel, because we did this last spring. We're going mm-hmm. to have our speakers back in the spring to have a sequel because there's so much there. That's not related to any of our shows, but we are in Indianapolis Theater, so it makes perfect sense that there is that connection, if you will. If you feel you have to have a connection, that's that connection.
Sharon Gamble with Clues Hall's Community Engagement Manager James Kramer. Visit James and his colleagues on the grounds of the IMA during tomorrow's Penrod Arts Fair. In addition to the hundreds of artists who are displaying and selling their works, nearly all of the Indianapolis arts organizations have booths at the annual event. It's a great place to pick up season brochures, enter contests, and you can even see and hear some of these organizations perform. Learn more about Clues and its season at cluehall.org. You can cluehall.org.
In addition to providing art classes and hosting art exhibitions all year long, the Indianapolis Arts Center is also running the Kids Arts Area at this year's Penrod Arts Fair. Travis DiNicola spoke with Kyle Harrington, Director of Exhibitions at the Arts Center, about their fall exhibition series.
You're the Director of Exhibitions.
Yes.
You've been in that role, what, about a year?
About a year now, yep. I've been at the Arts Center for about 7 years total.
Mm-hmm.
Started out as a studio coordinator there, moving easels and chairs, and have been working my way up ever since. And
that's
been
awesome.
In the Director of Exhibitions role for about a year, which I'm very happy to do. So,
well, congratulations on that. And you know, I know most exhibitions are planned fairly far in advance, so I'm guessing this is kind of like your first full season that you planned for?
Yeah. So I was very lucky. I worked under Patrick Flaherty, who's now the director of the Art Center.
Right.
At large, but he let me co-curate a lot of the shows with him. So a lot of the shows that were up this past year under my first year of tenure as the Director of Exhibitions were ones that were kind of our brainchilds together.
Okay.
Now this year we're kind of running up to the ones that really were things that I was curating and things that I got a handpick, which is of course really exciting for me, and I'm very thrilled about it.
Awesome. Well, we're going to talk about three that are coming up this fall in just a minute, but before we get into that, I do want to mention that right now at the Arts Center, which is located in Broad Ripple, you've got your open house show featuring faculty work, right?
Yeah. So every August we have our annual open house, and that consists of several exhibitions that really highlight what we do at the Arts Center, what's our day-to-day bread and butter.
Yeah.
So every year we have our faculty exhibition, which is upwards of 80-plus faculty members. That includes our outreach instructors as well. So there's a really wide variety of work in that show, and that's a really good way for people to come and look and kind of shop for what classes they want to take. A lot of our students and patrons want to see the type of work that the instructors are doing, and that's a really good way for us to be transparent and show the diversity that we have in our own studios.
And if you really like someone's work, you may want to take a class from, maybe even take a class you didn't think that.
Oh yeah,
like, oh, now I want to do glass blowing or drawing or painting or something.
A lot of our faculty members do cross medium work too, so it's really cool to see that interplay between mediums. And now we have a lot of classes where two different departments are working together, so that's a really cool thing to see the two different faculties' points of view and then get excited to take that class.
Awesome. And you guys are doing a lot more classes that are not necessarily like a full semester long, but sort of shorter.
Yeah. So we've got our anything from our one night only pop-up classes, which are really cool. They're a really good intro if you're really nervous or not quite sure.
Yeah, not ready to commit yet.
Right. If you just want to dip your toe into the water a little bit, then you can take one of those pop-up classes. But we've got 7-week classes, 4-week classes, 15-week classes. We've got weekend workshops. We've really got anything for anyone, which is really cool. And I love being in that wide net of possibilities from day to day, which is nice.
And then at Penrod this year, you guys are taking over the kids' arts tent.
Right, yeah. We're going to have an art activity going on there and really be able to highlight a lot of our activities that we have with kids. And that's always something that's really fun for us to cook up, and we love doing it.
So. Excellent. So let's talk about these three really interesting exhibits that are coming up. The first one is plein airs, not plein air, not like plein air painting, like outdoor painting, but plein airs. And the couple pieces that I've seen in some of the images from this kind of blew me away. It's a show that focuses on realism, but not your typical definition of realism. Right,
right. So this is something that I even talked with Patrick about a little bit back, and it's been something that's been boiling in my mind for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I went to art school, so my degree is actually in painting.
Okay.
And you know, growing up in the art world, whether it's from our parents or my boyfriend or just random people on the street, you always kind of get that, well, this doesn't really look like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why doesn't this look realistic? So that's something that's really been activating my mind for the last few years.
Okay.
So when I was able to start curating these shows, this is one that I was really excited to put together. And it's a combination of artists that I've been really interested in for a while
mm-hmm.
and artists that sent us cold proposals. We get about 200 to 300 proposals a year from artists that want to be in shows or
sure.
just have their work considered to be exhibited. So this was a really fun one to put together because I got to put the puzzle pieces together of artists that I was really excited about and also artists I didn't know about and see how their work interplayed within each other and to see all these different representations of realism and be able to pull the trigger and put them into the show was really actually exciting.
Give me an example, and maybe the T-shirt is kind of one of the best ones for people to understand
right.
what we're talking about in terms of realism, but not your traditional idea.
So, yeah, so one of our artists, Chris Thorson, she's a sculptor, and the work that she does is she's casting these sort of everyday mundane objects out of either hydrocal or bronze. So a piece that's going to be in the show looks just like a folded T-shirt,
mm-hmm.
but what it is just a solid cast T-shirt, but it's painted photorealistically. So it looks
okay.
real from far away, and you go up and you're really seeing the master brushstrokes of her painting it hyper-realistically, and that's something that I think is really exciting. And there's a really high
The photograph just looks like it's just a T-shirt. There,
yeah, there's
right?
there's a really high reverence in the art world at large of people that have the skill to do things so photorealistically.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, the exciting part is taking this acquired skill and taking really this mastery of technique and merging that with contemporary ideas and context and ideals. And that's really what I think the linchpin in this show is. It's taking this idea, this traditional idea of realism and representationalism, twisting on its head a little bit and saying, hey, this looks like what it's supposed to do. But a lot of times there's little digs in contemporary culture and
mm-hmm.
there's a lot more broader subjects there than this is just a still life, which is really cool.
Give me another example from that show, because I can't wait to see this show, just from what I've read and heard about it.
Right. So another artist that we have is Brent Owens, and he's a woodworker. One of the things that really kind of it puts a smile on my face is to see these pieces that he does, and they're basically reconstructions of neon signs, but they're
mm-hmm.
all made out of carved wood.
Okay.
So from far away, they look just like a neon sign, and he's using these bright fluorescent paints to recreate that fluorescent sign look,
yeah.
but you walk up to it and it's just carved wood with a extension cord hanging off of it.
That's so cool. So in many cases, it's a realistic piece done, but it's the material that's really different.
Yeah, there's a lot of different entry points to this show. So there's the artists that are kind of tricking the eye and doing something more of a take on a traditional trompe l'oeil technique.
Okay.
And making something realistic out of non-traditional materials. But then there's also people, someone like Joe Sinis, who is doing these hyper-realistic still life colored pencil drawings. And, you know, at first glance, they look like a very traditional still life. But then you look deeper into the imagery, and he's using a lot of reflection, so vases and glass and shiny objects. And you look deep into it, and you can see a reflection, for example, of Dolly Parton in the reflection. So while the meat of the piece is the representationalism, there's a lot of hidden context within these pieces. And I think that's something that rounds out this exhibit really, really well. There's a lot of viewpoints.
That sounds fair. And when does that one open?
That's September 25th is
okay.
when that opens. That's our opening exhibition, opening reception for that show.
Okay.
And that is one of the three-part series of our fall exhibition series.
And the next one is Gathering, which is a glass show.
Right. That one's presented by the IGAA, which is the Indiana Glass Arts Alliance, and that's in partnership with the Indiana Glass Trail.
Okay.
That's a show that...
Very contemporary glass.
Right, right. It's really kind of state-of-the-art who's mm-hmm. who in the glass world right now, which is really cool. And that's a show that they actually facilitated the jurying of. So
okay.
while the Art Center is hosting that show, me as a curator didn't actually curate this show. But I've been blown away looking at these images. They're really, really solid pieces of work, and I think that they're going to complement the plein air show really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
Something that I'm excited about is when we're planning these exhibition series, you want to think about what shows are going to work in union together to present an overall series of shows.
Sure.
And to have this glass exhibition at the same time as the Plein Air show and our KP Sing show, which we're going to talk mm-hmm. about, it's really a great union of all of them together that are giving a very good interplay between the different shows. I think that's an important thing, too.
And the Art Center really has become known over the years for its glassblowing classes,
yes.
this beautiful studio, great yes. studio. And I know that it's one of your most popular classes uh-huh. that people take, whether it's a pop-up or a longer class and such. And so that's got to be also just great for the students to be able to see some really fantastic glass from all over the country. Right,
right. Yeah. And I think that the cool thing about having the show at the Art Center is they can see the process from beginning to end. They can mm-hmm. walk down to our glassblowing studio and see, you know, the infancy of one of these glass pieces. They can see the metal going into the kiln and turning the molten glass and things like that. But then they can walk down the hallway and see this finished, polished, presented
yeah.
piece. So it's really just seeing the entire lifespan of the process of glassblowing. And really, that's the case with a lot of our shows in general, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's something as a curator that I want to think about is how can I... you know, how can I supplement the work going on in our classrooms, but also present a really dynamic and engaging show to the public at large? So
sure.
it's a lot of audiences to serve, and it's a really, it can be a brain teaser at times to, mm-hmm. to curate that way, but it's a really exciting puzzle for me to figure out. And I really want to be able to present such a wide variety of work to all of these different audiences that we
Very
have.
Cool. And I think especially the process of glass, I mean, the process of painting or drawing or ceramics are things that most of us kind of inherently comprehend.
Mm-hmm.
But glass is something that for many people is still this sort of big mystery. Like, how does it go from, you know, that pile of glass into this incredible
right.
sculpted object? You
right.
know? And so that'll be a very cool show to see.
Yeah, and there's a lot of different types of glass work in that show,
yeah.
too. Like, as I said, I just got the images last week. And so to be able to see there's cast glass, there's blown glass, there's fused glass, there's all these different types of work. And I think that it's really important to show that scope in the art world.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm very proud to host this exhibition and work alongside the IGAA with all of them and show everybody.
You know, and it's the Indiana Glass Alliance.
Right, the Indiana yeah. Glass yeah. Arts
very cool.
Alliance.
So, and then the third show, you mentioned KP Sing.
Yes.
And KP is just, anyone who knows him knows he's just yes. One of the greatest guys ever. Just a really kind, sweet gentleman, an amazing illustrator. His architectural illustrations have been for sale at the Broderpool Art Fair
right.
since the very beginning, right?
He's done every Broderpool Art Fair.
Every single
had.
One. Yeah. He's such a cool guy, you know.
He's always so great to talk to.
Yeah.
And every time we go by his booth at the Broderpool Art Fair, he greets us with a big hug.
Yep.
He's a really great guy. He's got such interesting stories. And I think that historical context of his work is very interesting. And he has this love affair with architecture and
mm-hmm.
and historical buildings and things like that. And through his work, I think he's making a really important statement about preserving the historical importance of
mm-hmm.
buildings, not just in Indianapolis, but in the Midwest in general and throughout the country and internationally, too.
Very cool. Well, Kyle, thank you so much for coming to Art of the Matter today.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I'm a big fan. You're doing such great things for our city. So
I appreciate that.
Always happy to help you out and talk to you.
Excellent. Well, looking forward to seeing you up at the Art Center in Broderpool very soon.
Yes, thank you so much.
Travis DiNicola with Kyle Harrington, Director of Exhibitions at the Indianapolis Art Center. For more information about their classes and the fall exhibition series, visit indplusartcenter.org. That's IndplusArtCenter.org. Thanks for listening to our special Penrod edition of The Art of the Matter. Penrod Arts Fair takes place on the grounds of the Indianapolis Museum of Art on Saturday, September 12th from 9 to 5 p.m. And you can get more information at penrod.org, PENROD.org.
Please listen to The Art of the Matter next week. We'll be back with our regular show Thursday at 8 p.m. and Saturday at 7 a.m. when I'll find out about a new show of Douglas David's paintings.
I'll chat with the architect working on the new Cummins Building.
And I'll get a preview of this year's Sister Cities Fest, plus there'll be that arts calendar we call
What'll
We do?
So please listen next weekend to The Art of the Matter here on 90.1 WFYI Public Radio.
You've been listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in central Indiana and Indianapolis. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. Today's show was edited by Melissa Davis and produced by Travis DiNicola. The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.